Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. People move to Coburg and Port Hope because they feel like they're in the past when they drive around. The old town halls, grand mansions, and Victorian houses along the tree-lined streets are an attraction to many. However, the reality is that many of these old buildings are being left empty. Some are left even to the point of irreparable neglect. The urgency to save our heritage is real and immediate. In this interview, you will hear about the upcoming house tour in Coburg on June 1st. The local chapter of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario organizes it. While walking around in these historic buildings is nice, their future could be less than certain. Rob Michael is one of the most respected architectural historians in Ontario. He grew up in Coburg and recently moved back. He will talk about heritage preservation. You decide if these structures should be saved and at what cost. I am so pleased to have with me today Rob Michael, an architectural historian and the chair of the local chapter of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Before we talk about the tour, how would you describe the state of heritage preservation in Coburg currently?
Very mixed, I would say. I think there's been some improvements, and I think there's been some backsliding over the 50 years that I've been involved in it or had my ear to it. There's a lot more good kind of renovations and rehabilitations going on. But I think there's still an attitude that heritage is a frivolous or not non-essential part of a community's life and growth. And it can't be farther from the truth because, the ACO was set up to preserve and protect and educate people on the value of heritage buildings and other structures, landscapes. But in essence, what you're doing is you're trying to preserve, advocating to preserve for the individuality, the uniqueness, the character, and you might even say the soul of the community, because the houses and the buildings that are being demolished are the old ones, the ones that are specifically built an individual to Coburg itself and form what is the character and the feeling of the town. And I always ask people, well, why did you move to Coburg if you don't mind them demolishing buildings that are part of the reason that you came?
Well, are building owners and developers doing enough? I mean, what's their responsibility? What's their role?
Well, there are some progressive developers and then there's some other not so progressive developers, and homeowners have their own tastes and things. But when you buy, when you buy in a heritage district and you buy in or buy a restored house or a house that's on been designated under Part 4 of the Heritage Act, there are certain guidelines and responsibilities that come with that. Because what you're doing is creating an atmosphere which it creates not only well-being for people, it's economically important. If you look in the United States and some parts of Canada, if you Google historic preservation and or downtown revitalization, they've been the two driving forces in downtown revitalization and overall town growth and economy. And we're a little far behind on other towns in Ontario. If you think of Port Hope, 7 miles west, but the downtown, since I came back, it's really great the way things have come up, because a number of years ago, things, it didn't look so well. So, you know, there's progress, but we just have to keep pushing and advocating. And that's what the ACO is, which is different from other groups. Its mandate is to advocate for the preservation of buildings and structures in our unique community.
Do you happen to know how many buildings have been added to the registry in the past year?
I don't. Not many. You know, there's a problem now with Bill 23, I believe it is, with the provincial government. It's part of their overall plan to increase housing, and they have kind of removed a lot of municipal powers, one of which is that they've are taking away the power of municipalities to monitor buildings. Because designation is a very expensive process and more limiting, most communities have lists that they monitor buildings, and if there's threats to them, they have time to designate them. Under Bill 23, they're eliminating the power of the municipality to monitor buildings. In Toronto, for example, where I worked for a long time, there were over 3,500 buildings on their list. They only designated if there was a threat or as part of an agreement. So they have a few years to do something about their listed buildings. And after that, there won't be any power the municipality has to monitor those significant buildings. So instead of adding to the list, we're going to lose a lot. And provincially, that's over 36,000 buildings that could be demolished tomorrow.
Bringing it back to Cobourg and Northumberland, mm-hmm. We've been watching a lot of important buildings that have been sitting and nothing's happened to them. Port Hope, there's the old Nickerson File Factory, which was left to a point where now its parts of it are being demolished. Strathmore House on the former Brookside Youth Detention Lands, Sidbrook's another one, the old movie theater, the park on King Street. What's going wrong?
Well, there are several things. With Brookside, the owner is just letting, you know, you have the power really not to do too much to a building. You can let it sit empty. I mean, there are work order, I've forgotten, work order, work orders that can be, the town can do to force compliance to certain standards of upkeep. So part of it is the owner, part of it is the town not willing to take that step. I mean, I think Brookside particularly it's kind of one of the generational opportunities that don't come along very often. And it's kind of a once in a lifetime thing to have 33 acres of beautiful land in the East End with a couple of heritage buildings, and the fact the town doesn't seem to have any interest in what happens to that property. And so it's sitting there, and the town seems to be not willing to buy the property or at this point, from what I have been told and discussed, much interest in it. And again, the Park Theater is just a tragedy. And, you know, Cobourg needs theaters. It has a booming theater business. And again, it's the ability to allow buildings to deteriorate to the point where they'll be demolished. And so, you know, council, if they're serious about this, have to really get involved. And, you know, we had... you know, Cobourg often is a place of lost opportunities. When I was here in the 90s, the famous people players wanted to come to Coburg and make it their summer theater place, and they were looking at the park, and you know, the town really wasn't willing to invest in it to allow this to happen, and that would have been brought busloads of people into Coburg and really pumped up the downtown economy, I think, anyway. But you know, it's a, you know, it was a lost opportunity because the town, throughout my experience, isn't really willing to invest in these type of projects.
Are there sufficient incentives provided by federal and provincial governments to encourage people to register or even preserve heritage buildings in Coburg?
Well, there aren't what there used to be, but the town, I'm just fairly new back to Coburg, but I don't believe there's any kind of grant program for builders, homeowners or building owners to help them restore properties. There have been some initiatives in the downtown, and there's one CIP, I think, that homeowners can, or business owners or downtown merchants or landlords can take to help with their building renovations or restorations. But there are certainly not what there were when I first started out in the 80s.
You mentioned this earlier in our conversation, and I'd like to come back to it. And that is this idea that many people look at architectural preservation as a barrier or as a hassle. What can be done to enhance the way people are thinking about preserving architecture?
Well, first of all, and most importantly, and we're going to start sort of an aggressive campaign of awareness and education. And in Coburg, there hasn't been a lot of real awareness or education on the values and the not just for preserving nice old buildings, but the economic impacts, the climate change impacts, the well-being that one gets. They just have some studies out now. It seems intuitive, but they now have studies that the character of a town or city has a real effect on the well-being of a person. So there are so many different positive ways. And as I say, one of the driving forces is economics. And there's also studies that show that the renovation and restoration of buildings creates more affordable housing than building new. So there's so many different reasons that aren't necessarily feel-good reasons that are why heritage is important. And you can look around at a lot of towns, Almont, Port Hope, St. Mary, St. Thomas, Perth. You know, they're very thriving because they've embraced the heritage and the characters of their communities. And I think we need to do more of that. We're doing it, but we also have to, as I say, educate people on what the heritage is and instill a real sense of value in Coburg's history and its architecture. And I say, you know, there's a lot of interest in its history, but a lot of that is embodied in the buildings that are standing.
Then what do you say to someone who argues like, hey, this is my property, I bought it, it's mine, and they should be free to do what they want?
Well, several things. There's a Planning Act and a Building Code Act, which restricts your buildings, what you can do. I did have someone that talked to me about property rights from the town and how important it was. But I say, well, what about the important, what about the property rights of people on either side of you or around you? What are their property rights when you're building a building that could decrease their property values? And that's why one of the reasons heritage districts are formed, because I was talking to some people the other day that spent $16,000 replacing their windows so they would match the original heritage structure. But, you know, if someone next door to you, you know, just puts in any old windows or, you know, doesn't conform, you know, help build the neighborhood in a way that's keeps it thriving, then why would another person want to spend so much money fixing their house up? So we all build each other up together. It's not that, and again, it's not that it doesn't, can you could tear a building down that isn't that great and build a very nice contemporary building. I'm not against that. There are a lot of infill buildings that I've noticed since I've come back to COVID that are beautiful contemporary buildings.
Heritage preservation legislation has been described in the past as merely a paper tiger. Municipalities don't have the teeth when it comes to saving buildings. Do municipalities have the necessary teeth to protect significant buildings?
I'm not as familiar with the Heritage Act as I was, but certainly in the beginning, there were the problem about not being able to designate or being able to tear down designated buildings was and is an issue. But there are a lot of ways now that they can preserve buildings, and not just through the Heritage Act, through the zonings. If there's any kind of zoning change required on a property, then you have more power that way to help the developer or owner keep the character of their property or not demolish their house. Through the Ontario Act, there are various ways that they preserve it, and you know, to some degree, that's working through the LAC Acts and the Heritage Planner. One of the problems I think with the Heritage Act was, say, with the Planning and Building Department, you had professionals working who were trained and practiced in those fields, where when they set up the Ontario Heritage Act, there was no provision for a professional heritage planner. There, it was just volunteers from the localities who probably weren't too well versed in heritage preservation and the Heritage Act. So I think that's where it gets fuzzy. Now the town, I think, is taking things more seriously, and in that way, in that regard, and as I say, they have had heritage planners working with owners and trying to negotiate. A lot of it is a negotiation. A lot of it is a cajoling, or, you know, different ways. And that, but also they can deny the permits, especially in heritage districts. So then that those could be appealed. But there are some more strengths, but there are also less strengths. So if they remove the ability to list, then that really hinders the ability to preserve buildings.
The Architectural Conservancy of Ontario local chapter is holding a tour on June 1st. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a great tour, and I'm on the committee. I came late into it, but I'm really excited about it. It's 11 buildings. It's on June 1st, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There are 11 buildings, 7 heritage houses, one contemporary house that is energy efficient. And it's quite interesting to hear how you can convert a house to make it almost self-sufficient, as well as Victoria Hall. You know, it's surprising since I've been back how many people have never been in Victoria Hall. You'd be surprised about the number of people that haven't. And we also have St. Peter's Church and their rectory and the mortuary chapel. Unfortunately, churches now have to lock their doors, so you can't get into churches much anymore unless you're going for services or other programs. So St. Peter's just went under, $2 million restoration, and the inside of the churches proper is just beautiful. And there we have houses dating to 1832, 1834, right up to 2000. So quite a wide variety. And Lakehurst is 128 Durham is the old armor estate. He was the Chief Justice of Ontario, beautiful Georgian building. 195 Queen is a very interesting, eccentric Gothic one. And there's, we have some early Georgian or mid-Georgian houses that, you know, they're all quite stunning and exciting. So I'm really looking forward to it, and we have a great committee. I'll name them: Esther Robson, who's our fearless leader, and Doug Sirota, Elizabeth Betancourt, Leslie Fink, and Suzanne Gerwick. And you know, I used to do events in the government for 20 years. I used to set up announcements and things for the ministers I worked for in the bureaucracy. And this is a logistical nightmare. Kudos to people who are doing this, because it's not easy, but you know, it brings so much, you know, happiness to people, and also it's a good fundraiser. And you know, and to allow homeowners, you want to thank the homeowners, because that's, you know, something that not everyone thinks to do or maybe wants to do. But when my parents had a house on their tour in the 70s, you know, and there was some anticipation, but it turned out to be a really fun day, you know, people coming through and commenting. So, you know, if you're thinking, if your approach for a house to be, your house to be on a tour, really consider it, because it really benefits a lot of people.
Rob?
Yep.
How do you sign up for this? How do I get involved if someone's listening and wants to be part of it?
So we have a website, www.acocen.ca. They're available. The tickets are available at a number of stores throughout town, including Quinn's Florist. They're also in Grafton at 1812 Antiques, Lana Taylor Antiques in Port Hope, Fulton Flowers in Port Hope, the Art Gallery in Coburg, Acanthus Interior. So there are a number of stores downtown that are selling them in Port Hope and around. But I also wanted to mention, too, for St. Peter's, they're offering a box lunch for $20. And the proceeds for that will go to the help restore the rectory and the church. And they're planning music programs throughout the day. And they're having a swing band on the lawn during the period where they're serving these box lunches.
And how much are the tickets?
The tickets are $35, and well worth it, I think. And it'll be a great day. It'll be a great day, and I think, and I hope everyone will come out and join us. We're selling tickets very quickly. We sold, I think, over 300. And so it seems to be, it's going to be popular, but we'd like to see as many people as we can come out to this. And it really supports a good cause and helps maintain your community, helps enhance your community.
I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
That was Rob Michael, architectural historian and chair of the local chapter of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com.
Or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.